A Proud King Put to Shame, Chapter 106. Great consternation prevails in the congregation at Jerusalem. Yes, much worse, the congregation of the Lord in that city is plunged into deep mourning. Why? The Apostle James, the brother of the Apostle John, is dead. Suddenly, when no one expected it, he is snatched out of this life. Did he meet with an accident? Did a serious sickness take him to the grave? No, he was beheaded. Beheaded? How did that come about? Who did that? Listen. Suddenly, another persecution breaks loose. Did the Sanhedrin do it? No, this persecution does not come from the Jews, but from King Herod. The murderer of John the Baptist also was named Herod, but this cruel person was already dead. His son is now reigning, and he too is named Herod. This Herod has become a persecutor of the followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Why does he do this? Herod wants to win the favor of the Jews. He knows that the Jews, especially the Jewish rulers, hate with a deadly hatred the followers of that Nazarene. He will give them a helping hand. However, he does not persecute any ordinary members. No, it is the apostles, the ministers, the main pillars of God's church whom he seizes. He captured the apostle James and beheaded him with a sword. That was not harmful for James. At once he was translated from this troublesome life into eternal glory. He had no painful suffering of long endurance. One blow, and it was done. You need not have compassion with James. No, for he is now forever with his beloved master, with his Savior who purchased him with his blood. It was terrible for the congregation at Jerusalem. They had to part with their beloved minister. For that reason, consternation and grief reigns in this congregation. Herod, the cruel murderer, grins. The rulers of the Jews will now begin to like him. He is right. When the Sanhedrin hears what King Herod has done, they agree heartily. They themselves do not dare harm the apostles, for they have not forgotten how an angel of the Lord had delivered the apostles out of prison. But if Herod is pleased to persecute the apostles, it is very good with them. They are grateful to him for it. The more apostles he kills, the better they like it. It is true, they did not kill James, but because they find pleasure in his death, they stand guilty before the holy presence of the Lord for this atrocious crime. A few days later, the congregation of the Lord is startled by new tidings. This news goes through the city as a spreading fire. Peter has been imprisoned. When Herod saw that he did the Jews a great displeasure by killing James, he decided to kill the other apostles too. He causes Peter to be placed in jail. Because the Passover was being celebrated during these days, he decided to wait with the slaying of Peter until the feast of the Passover was over. He takes every precaution that this apostle does not escape. He keeps him so secure that escape is impossible. Four watches, each consisting of four Roman soldiers, vigilantly guard the prison in which Peter has been locked. Does Herod fear the wrath of God? Why, no. He does not serve the God of Israel, neither does he fear God's anger. But the congregation is seized with fright. Another apostle is gone. Will all of them be slain? What must they do? Must they try to rescue Peter from the prison? No, that never. It is impossible to do that. The guard in front of the prison will drive them away with main force. Besides, the iron gate is securely locked, and still other soldiers are standing inside the prison. No, that will never succeed. Should they go to Herod and plead with him to let Peter go? Why, no, he will not pardon him. It will not benefit them to do that, for most likely they too would be imprisoned and slain. But what can be done? One way remains open, and that way is above. The only thing they can do for their beloved minister is to pray. They can pray to God, who is almighty, for help, for deliverance. Many prayers are sent up to the Most High. We read that prayer was made without ceasing unto God. No, they didn't pray once or twice, but continually and perseveringly. Will it help? It seems as if God does not hear their prayers. Day after day goes by, and no change comes. The Passover feast lasted 8 days. All this time, Peter is in the prison. Finally, the Passover days are past. Now Peter is to be put to death. Only one more night must he spend in prison. The following day, Herod is to bring the apostle before the people and pronounce the death sentence upon him. He is separated from death by a few hours. Escape is impossible. The king commands that Peter must have an extra strong guard during that last night. Two extra soldiers are appointed besides the four watches of four soldiers. These two soldiers must sleep with him in the cell. They are locked up with him for the night, and Peter is bound to them with chains. These chains are bound fast to his two wrists, and the other end of each chain to the wrist of each soldier. If he moves but slightly, the iron chains will move and jingle, thus awakening the two soldiers. Herod has taken every precaution. His prisoner must not escape. He will be positive of that. That night, the king goes to sleep with a restful mind. It is night. The inhabitants of Jerusalem are sleeping. Nothing disturbs the nightly stillness. However, the guards before and inside the prison are not sleeping. No, they are watching, for if they should sleep, it will cost them their lives. Come, in our thoughts, we will enter Peter's cell of confinement. He is sitting up. The sweat is sparkling upon his forehead. His hands are trembling. That is exactly what you expected to see, isn't it? But it is not so. You thought that he would be nervous and afraid. Why, no, you are mistaken. He is lying down, sleeping peacefully. Sleeping? And in a few hours he shall be killed? Can Peter sleep? Just look. He is calmly lying there. His breathing is heavy and regular. How can that be? Would you be so calm, too, if you were going to be killed in a few hours? No, indeed not. You would be at your wit's end from fear and terror. But Peter sleeps as calmly as if he were home. Do you know why that is so? He is not afraid to die. He knows by faith that his sins have been atoned for by the suffering and dying of the Savior. He knows that if he should be killed, his soul will go to eternal glory. He has given his life into the hand of the Lord. A peaceful calm fills his soul. He has a believing trust in God. He does not know what the outcome will be, but the heavenly peace in his soul has driven out all fear. That is why Peter can sleep in the hour of greatest danger. O children, Peter is greatly blessed, isn't he? The two Roman soldiers to whom Peter is chained are sleeping too. They may sleep, for the prisoner's first move would awaken them. There is no need for them to remain awake. But the watchers outside the prison are awake. Suddenly, the dark cell is brightly illuminated. An angel descends. This heavenly messenger taps Peter on his side, and he awakens. "Arise up, quickly," Peter is commanded. Silently, the apostle obeys. The chains fall from his hands. The two soldiers in his cell sleep so soundly that they do not notice anything of what is taking place. They do not awake. The angel says, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." Peter does this as if in a dream. He does not know whether he is awake or dreaming. "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me," is the final command of the angel. And then, oh, just look, the prison opens by itself. God's hand breaks open the heavy bolts and locks. The angel walks outside, and Peter follows this heavenly messenger. They walk past the watching guards and are seen by no one. The hand of the Lord has cast a blindness over them. This is another wonder of God's omnipotence. Behind Peter, the door again falls into its lock. They go past different watches, and no one, not a one, notices anything of this escape. Their eyes are held so that they see nothing. Soon Peter and the angel stand before the iron gate which leads to the street. This, too, opens silently for them by itself. Just a little further, and they will be standing on the street. The angel walks a short distance with Peter into another street. Then the heavenly messenger ascends unto him who sent him. Peter is alone. He is free. The watchmen ought to know that they are guarding an empty prison. Peter followed this heavenly guide as if in a dream, but now that he is standing alone in the darkness of the night, he comes to himself. He now realizes that it is not a dream or a vision, but that it is reality. What must he do now? Of course, he cannot remain standing there, for then his enemies will find him when the morning light dispels the darkness. He thinks for a moment. He then decides to go to the house of a certain Mary. This woman was the mother of Mark and most likely the sister of Barnabas. I already told you something about Barnabas in chapter 98. Peter knew that the congregation often came together in that home, so he decided to go there. As carefully as possible, but as fast as he can, he goes to the home of this well-known woman. That same night, many members of the congregation of the Lord are gathered together in the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. They sit together dejectedly. One more night, and their beloved apostle will be slain by his enemies. It seems as if the Lord will not answer their prayers. Oh, if they could only help Peter. If they could only deliver him out of prison. They are convinced that this is an impossibility. No human help can be rendered there. Therefore, more ardent are the prayers which rise to God on high. The Lord only can save their minister from certain death. They are not discouraged, and they do not give up. No, they continue to pray. Slowly the hours go by. Time goes on. It is night. But they do not go to bed. They cannot sleep. Fearful anxiety fills their hearts. Suddenly they frighten violently. Knocking is heard on the outside front gate. They look at each other anxiously. Who can that be? They do not expect anyone at this midnight hour. They do not feel easy about it. Could it be their enemies? Could Herod have found out that they are gathered together this night in this house? Has their meeting been revealed? Has the king sent his soldiers to take all of them prisoners? They do not know. Hearken! Knocking is heard again. Yes, they of necessity must go and see who is there. A damsel named Rhoda goes with pounding heart to the front door and asks softly, "Who is there?" A muffled voice answers from outside. A glad expression comes upon Rhoda's face when she recognizes this voice. "Of course, you knew long ago who this nightly visitor is, didn't you? Peter stands at the front gate and desires to be admitted." From excitable gladness, Rhoda forgets to open the door. She leaves Peter standing outside, and she hastily goes inside. "Peter is standing outside at the gate," she calls excitedly. They all stare at her in utmost astonishment. "Peter? Ah, come, that cannot be. You are mistaken." Their voices ring out disbelievingly, and they shake their heads sadly. "No, I am not mistaken," Rhoda insisted. "I heard his voice very clearly. It is he. Really, believe me." For many days they have supplicated the Lord for deliverance, and now that the Lord has given deliverance, they do not believe it. They are afraid that they will deceive themselves. They dare not believe it, for if it should not be true, then the disappointment would be so much the greater. Therefore they answer, "It is his angel." By that they mean, the Lord sent an angel to Peter to encourage him in the prison, to comfort him before he died, and to protect him. And now this guardian angel is knocking at the door to give us this message. While they are considering these things with each other, Peter continues to knock. Could it be true what Rhoda had said? Behold, a few go to the front and finally open the outside door. Peter immediately walks inside. Yes, indeed, it is he. How is that possible? Confusedly, they all talk through each other. All kinds of questions are put to him. Peter, who cannot make himself understood in this manner, motioned with his hand that they should be silent. It becomes breathlessly quiet. He then relates to them what has taken place in this night. He tells them how the Lord sent an angel who led him out of prison. He informs them how that the doors opened by themselves, and how the guards did not notice it. It is natural that Peter cannot remain in Jerusalem, and that would be far too dangerous. For that reason, he leaves that same night before it begins to get light. He asks them if they will tell it to the others, especially to James, the writer of the book of James, and then he goes to another place. We do not know where he went, for the Bible does not tell us. You need not think that the members of the congregation who were gathered in the house of Mary slept that night. First, they could not sleep because of sadness. Later, because of joy. God delivered Peter out of the power of Herod in a miraculous manner. Their many prayers have not been in vain, but God has answered them in his own time. Let this history be an incentive to you to keep on. We are prone to give up praying when the Lord does not give immediately what we ask for. This, I would like to advise you, do not stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Do not become discouraged when it seems as if God does not hear. Never forget this fact. We have no right to anything. Above all, entreat the Lord for the indispensable operation of the Holy Ghost. It would be such a great privilege if the Lord answered those prayers. The following morning, when it became light, the soldiers who were chained fast to Peter awakened. Their prisoner had disappeared. They were greatly frightened and filled with consternation. They stand before a puzzle. In great terror, they called to the guards who were watching outside the cell. They quickly opened the door. They stared at each other in speechless astonishment. Not one of them knew of anything. Soon, Herod heard that his prisoner had escaped. He became angry. Immediately, the watchers were called to come before him, and at the same time he commanded his soldiers to look for Peter. No matter where the soldiers looked, they could not find him. It was good that Peter had left Jerusalem, otherwise they surely would have seized him. When Herod heard that Peter was nowhere to be found, he examined the watchers judicially. He was furious because his heinous plan had failed. He also was ashamed because of the Jewish rulers. When the watchers were questioned, it revealed that they could not explain to Herod where Peter was or how he had escaped. They had been continually on the watch and had seen nothing. Herod did not believe their explanations, for he commanded them to be put to death. Did you hear that? They were put to death. They were condemned through no fault of theirs. Herod vents his rage upon these watchers. He did not remain in Jerusalem. He left and went to Caesarea, where he will not be troubled by the Jewish rulers. He cannot hear their sarcastic remarks there. You can be sure that this defeat deeply wounded his pride.